Let's pray. Gracious Father, that is our prayer, that you would receive glory and honor and praise now and forevermore. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that as we stand on the brink of beginning a new year, that we can come and worship before you, that we can appeal to you and call upon you and ask for your help and your grace as we look at moving into 2019. Father, we pray that as we go into a new year, we would not be distracted and preoccupied with lesser things, but that our hearts and our minds would be centered and focused on you, that we would aspire to and strive to love you with all of our hearts and souls, our minds, our strength, that you would be glorified and that we would learn more what it means to love each other as we love ourselves. Father, we pray that you would be honored and glorified now as we open your word. Bring to our attention that which you would have us see. Change us from the inside out. We pray this in Jesus' good and precious name. Amen. Amen. He was known as the Desert Fox, a brilliant military strategist, field marshal of the African Corps, and a personal friend to Adolf Hitler. His name was Erwin Rommel, and during the first week of June in 1944, he was hard at work strengthening the fortifications of the beaches of western France. Because Rommel had predicted, he was anticipating an Allied invasion against Hitler-controlled Europe. Rommel recognized the importance of the moment. He recognized the strategic location of that place. His years of experience had convinced him that in this stage of the war, if the Allies should ever gain a foothold in France, then the German war machine would ultimately be destroyed. And so he was there. Erwin Rommel was there. He was personally overseeing the efforts to secure the readiness of the German defenses. But as that first week in June came to an end, and as the weather off the Atlantic coast became increasingly miserable, Rommel thought that he could spare a few days away from all the work and from all the preparation. After all, his wife's birthday was about to come. He had purchased her a very special present that he wanted to deliver to her in person on her birthday, June 6th. And so, on June 5th, he left the front to return home. And on the very next day, June 6th, he found himself celebrating with family and friends in Berlin when the Allied invasion began, D-Day. It's an incredible irony that in God's providence, Erwin Rommel possessed the understanding to discern the importance of the moment, but he was absent. He was distracted by other things when the moment actually came. This was perhaps the greatest single military invasion in human history, and Rommel had seen it coming, and he had prepared for it. But when it arrived, he was busy. He was busy, preoccupied with something else. And in the confusion of that day, due in large part to Rommel's absence, the combined British and American forces gained a foothold on the coast of Normandy, which in turn provided the opportunity to push towards the Rhine River and the eventual destruction of Hitler's war machine. Now, why do I tell you this morning? Why do I bring this to your attention? Because there are many people who are preoccupied with lesser things, and it need not stay that way. There are many people who have just come through this Christmas season, and they have done a lot of things, but they have missed the main thing. They have become distracted in this life, and oh, how we need our attention and our focus to be continually redirected to the main thing. So with that in mind, please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, this morning we have the privilege to meet a man who did not miss out on the most important thing. A man who was not distracted by secondary concerns. A man who, when the moment came, was ready and prepared to meet Mary and Joseph and the newly born Messiah. His name is Simeon. And Simeon was a man ahead of his time. Simeon was a man who knew the importance of the moment he was living in. He was a man who was actively looking for and anticipating the coming of the Messiah. Now, we don't know much about Simeon. We don't know exactly how old he was when we read about him in Luke chapter 2. We don't know what tribe he belonged to, whether he was of the tribe of Benjamin, like the Apostle Paul, or whether he belonged to some other tribe. We don't know his occupation. We don't know his favorite color, but we do know that he loved God. And that he loved the people of God. That he loved the nations. And he longed to see all people worshiping and coming to know the one true God. Listen, what Simeon has to say here and his example for us in Luke chapter 2, it is more relevant than tomorrow's newspaper. It is more important than how the stock market will or won't do in 2019. It is more applicable than your 15 New Year's resolutions that you have no intention of keeping. This is monumental for us, and it is very fitting that we would be studying these verses on the same Sunday that our children in Children's Church are having their special missions emphasis, because Simeon has some important things to say about the world at large. So moms and dads, be sure to compare notes with your kids over lunch. Let's walk through the text now, section by section, verse by verse. Luke chapter 2, look at verses 22 to 24. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him, Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Note this on your outline. Here we see that in love and obedience towards God and His word, Mary and Joseph come to the temple. It is so evident. Mary and Joseph, they desire to honor the Lord. They desire to walk in obedience with God, submitting to His word and His law. In Leviticus chapter 12, it is prescribed that you should wait 40 days until after the birth of a son before coming to the temple. So Mary and Joseph, they wait that 40 days, which is the appointed time for purification. So they come after this 40-day period. They also come to offer a sacrifice. They come to present Jesus in the temple to God and to offer a sacrifice. Now, the usual sacrifice would have been a lamb, but Leviticus 12:8 says that if someone cannot afford a lamb, then they could offer two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. I'm just kidding. That is not what the text says. You can offer a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons for a sacrifice of purification after giving birth to a son. And of course, you cannot miss the beautiful irony of this situation. Here, Mary and Joseph come to the temple to present Jesus and to offer a sacrifice. Christ, who is to make the ultimate perfect sacrifice for sins. Christ, who would offer himself unto God before God as the once for all sacrifice for sins. So Mary and Joseph, they, according to the law, in obedience to God, in joy and thanksgiving, make this about 6-mile journey up to Jerusalem to present Jesus and to offer this sacrifice for purification. And it's here that Mary and Joseph get a most unexpected blessing when they would meet Simeon, when they would talk with this man, Simeon. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing to meet and to talk with Simeon. Because Simeon was a man who was obedient to the Spirit of God. He was a man who was submissive to God's leading in his life. Simeon was a man who listened to and he actually believed the Word of God. He really believed it. And he lived like it. He trusted God's promises. He embraced the Word of God. And he ordered his life and structured his life according to the Word of God. Simeon was a man who was longing for the Messiah to come, who was waiting expectantly to see the Messiah. And so, of course, it was a joy to talk with Simeon. It was a joy to meet Simeon. It is always a joy to talk with someone who is manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, who is walking in obedience to the Word of God, who is longing for the Christ to appear. It is a joy to be around those kinds of people. I ask you this morning, are you that kind of person? Is it a joy to come and talk to you and to meet with you because you have embraced the promises of God and you are walking in joyful fellowship with God, submitting to the Spirit of God, longing for the return of Christ? Oh, that in 2019 we would follow Simeon's example and that we would be a joy and a blessing to anyone and everyone that we come into contact with. Look at verses 25 to 27. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. Stop there for just a moment. Please note this on your outline. A, Simeon reminds us of our need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Simeon reminds us of our need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is all over these verses. Verse 25 says that the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. Verse 26 says that the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die. He would never die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Until he had seen the Messiah. Until he had personally seen the coming Savior. This is phenomenal. This has got to be one of the greatest blessings that we read about in the Scriptures. To have God tell you, you are never going to die until you see the Messiah. Listen, I vote for that. Okay? Sign me up for that. Yes, that is something to get excited about. And so no doubt, Simeon lived his entire life in anticipation of that moment. Will it be this morning? I wonder if I'll meet the Messiah this morning. Maybe it'll be this afternoon. Maybe it'll be this evening. There's no indication in the text that Simeon ever did this. But man, he could have been a daredevil. He could have been skydiving, bungee jumping, because he can't die until he's gonna see the Messiah and how he longed for that day. And so here he is. Oh, also in verse 27 now, it says that Simeon came in the Spirit into the temple. Meaning that again, Simeon is walking and living in joyful submission to the Spirit of God that is active in his life. And so it's no doubt when in verse 28, what we read about Simeon saying, he's saying exactly what the Spirit wants him to say. Simeon again is walking in joyful submission to God. And so he says exactly the right things about the Christ child that he's going to meet. And I love reading about this small little glimpse into Simeon's life because he shows us a faithful example of what it means to be responsive to God's leading and God's word. Simeon did not grieve the Holy Spirit with anger and with resentment. Discouragement. This is something that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4. No, Simeon was rather one who shows us what it means to walk by the Spirit. Something that Paul talks about in Galatians 5:16. He was led by the Spirit. Paul talks about this in Galatians 5:18. He endeavored to keep in step with the Spirit. Paul talks about this in Galatians 5:25. And again, so it's not a surprise that Simeon manifests the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Simeon walked in fellowship with God, trusting God's promises, dependent on God's Spirit. And again, if we want to make the most of 2019, we would do well to follow Simeon's example. Listen, brothers and sisters, we can and should recognize that we live every moment of every day before the face of God. You do. You live every moment of every day in the presence of God, before the face of God. And so we can and should say with the psalmist in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. That is our God. He is a very present help in times of trouble. Not a distant help that is far away, that you must wait months for to arrive. He is a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Brothers and sisters, we can and should recognize that we can treasure His presence and His grace in our lives every moment, that God is our greatest good. His presence, His Spirit in our lives is our joy. We can say with the psalmist in Psalm 16, preserve me, O God, for in You I take refuge. I say to the Lord, You are my Lord. I have no good apart from You. I have no good apart from You. Please note it on your outline. Like Simeon, God has given us, His children, great and precious promises. God has given us great and precious promises. Now, admittedly, none of us has received the promise, at least not that I know of. None of us has received the promise that we know for absolute certainty that we will be alive when Jesus returns. No man knows the day or the hour of Christ's return. I cannot promise you that you will never walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But I can promise you that if you know Christ, God will be with you every step of the way. God will be with you every... He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I can promise you that, like Simeon, you will one day see Jesus face to face. You will. You will one day see Jesus face to face. I can promise you that if you are in Christ, God will one day give to you a resurrected, glorified body that is just like Jesus's resurrected, glorified body. God has given to us great and precious promises, and how we ought to rejoice in them, and how we ought to celebrate them and hope in them. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, we are God's children now. We are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. If you know Christ, you are a citizen of heaven. If you know Christ, you will be given a resurrected, glorified body that is like Jesus' resurrected, glorified body. This is your future. This is your coming reality. And these are just a couple of the great and precious promises that God has given to us. And so, like Simeon, let us live joyfully, confidently in God's promises, and let us help each other. Let us be co-laborers together to help shepherd one another and redirect our attention and our focus to the great and precious promises that God has given to us. Look at the next section. Look at verses 27 to 33. Verses 27 to 33. Here's where things get really good in this encounter with Simeon. Verse 27, and he came in the spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, that is Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. B on your outline. Please make note of it. Simeon rejoices in God's good, sovereign, gracious plan. Oh, Simeon rejoices and he praises the Lord for what God has done. He takes the infant Christ in his arms and he blesses God. He praises God. He worships God for what God has done and is doing. Simeon recognizes that this is God's work. It is God's gracious, sovereign plan, and Simeon rejoiced to see it. He stood amazed and in awe of God. Now, we may hear that, we may read that, and we may ask the question, well, what exactly is so great about this? What exactly is Simeon so excited about? Now, to answer that, I want to walk you slowly through a statement that you can see on your outline. And hopefully this statement fairly and helpfully and accurately reflects what it is that Simeon says here in his praise and adoration and thanksgiving to God. Our little statement begins with these words: Simeon could now die in peace. Simeon could now die in peace. He says in verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. Now again, we don't know exactly how old Simeon was at this time. We don't know when Simeon died after this moment of meeting Jesus, but we do know that whenever Simeon did die, he died at peace. He died resting confidently in God's promises that God had kept and fulfilled his word to him, that God was indeed faithful. Simeon died loving God, trusting God, rejoicing that God was faithful and that God was and is always true to his word. So our statement continues now. Simeon could now die in peace because he had seen God's provision of salvation, the Messiah. Again, Simeon says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Now, we may hear that and we may be tempted to respond something like this. Well, hang on there, Simeon. Not so fast. You haven't seen salvation. You just saw a baby. Right? I mean, that baby hadn't saved anybody. That baby 40 days old, Simeon. He ain't done nothing yet. What do you mean, Simeon, by saying, my eyes have seen your salvation? What is Simeon talking about at this point? Well, simply this. Simeon was so confident that God would keep his word, that the Messiah would do everything that God had promised, that Simeon can look at the infant Christ and say, it's as good as done. It is as good as done because God is always faithful. God is always trustworthy. God is always reliable. It is as good as done. This is God's provision of salvation. God will not fail. He will rescue and redeem his people just like he said. In Simeon's mind, it is as good as done because God is faithful. Simeon knew, listen, that the Messiah would one day crush the head of the serpent as predicted in Genesis chapter 3. Simeon knew that the Messiah would be and is this righteous branch, a descendant of David, as foretold by God in Jeremiah chapter 23. Simeon knew that this Messiah would be and is the suffering servant, God's perfect servant who would make atonement for his people as described and talked about by God in Isaiah 53. Simeon believed the word of God. And again, he ordered and structured his entire life around what God had said, walking by faith, trusting the promises of God. See, Simeon really believed Isaiah 53. When the prophet writes of this coming righteous servant and says, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Simeon believed this. He believed the word of God, and because of Simeon's faith and confidence in God and in his word, he can look at baby Jesus even before he had done one miracle, even before he could walk or talk. Simeon can look at him and say to God, "My eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation." And anyone who looks to Christ and trusts in Jesus can say the same thing. My eyes have seen your salvation. In Christ there is the perfect provision made for life, for forgiveness, for joy, for salvation. So we can say with Simeon, my eyes have seen your salvation. Our statement continues next. Simeon could now die in peace because he had seen God's provision of salvation, the Messiah, which was a truth to be proclaimed to all peoples, meaning the Gentiles. Simeon says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles." According to Simeon, there is nothing narrow about God's offer of salvation. According to Simeon, there is nothing narrow about God's offer of salvation. This child will be light, not just for the nation of Israel, but for the Gentile nations. This child will be truth, revelation, good news that, according to Simeon, should be proclaimed to all peoples. Simeon here, he's thinking Great Commission before there was a Great Commission. He was a man ahead of his time. Simeon was anticipating all peoples coming to worship the one true God, to know the Messiah as Lord and Savior. And so I think in part this explains why we read what we read in verse 33. Did you notice this curious little statement that pops up in verse 33? I think what Simeon says here explains why Mary and Joseph have the reaction that they do to Simeon's words. In verse 33 we read, "And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him." Now, by this time, Mary and Joseph already had heard from angels about Jesus. So what is there really to marvel at in hearing Simeon, as far as we know, an elderly man who takes Jesus in his arms and says some things about him? What is there to marvel at here for Mary and Joseph, who had already talked with angels and heard from angels? They knew that Jesus was God's son. They knew that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was to be the Savior. So why do they marvel at Simeon's words? Why are they amazed? Well, we know from reading the Gospel's big picture and from reading the book of Acts that the Jews mostly despised the Gentiles. They regarded them as unclean, as to be avoided and pushed away. But here, Simeon says that Jesus has come to be a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and that Jesus is God's Messiah. Listen, prepared in the presence of all peoples. This was shocking news to many of the Jewish people living during this time. And yet Simeon's praise makes perfect sense as we read and consider Jesus' own words, not only in what our brother Steve Kincaid read earlier in the Great Commission, but in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells his men before he ascends back into heaven, he says to them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." To the ends of the earth. There is perfect agreement between Simeon, and there is perfect agreement between the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon knows that Christ, this one come to save, must be proclaimed to all the Gentile nations, that he is a light prepared before the presence of all peoples. And Jesus tells his men, go unto Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, that all may know. There's perfect agreement between Simeon and Jesus that all people need Jesus. All people need Jesus. Did you know that there are only two kinds of people in the world? That's it. There's only two kinds of people in the world. Those that need Jesus and those that need Jesus. That's it. Those are the only two kinds of people in the world. We all are in desperate need of Christ. Listen, if Jesus does not return in 2019, and I should back up because we're not even in 2019, and I keep talking like we are. We still have about a day and a half to go, and Jesus could still return in 2018. If Jesus does not return in 2018, and then he does not return in 2019, then brothers and sisters, we have another year. We have another year to make Christ known, to represent him well, as, listen, not perfect ambassadors, but hopefully faithful ambassadors for him. That wherever we go, whether it's at school or work or with family and at the park and with your bowling league and little league and wherever it is you go, whatever it is you do, that you would represent Christ well. This is our calling. This is our mission, that all peoples of all tribes, of all nations and tongues would know Christ. This is what we long for. This is what we pray for. This is what we so desperately desire to see, because Revelation 5 gives us that picture that in heaven, peoples of all tribes and nations and languages will adore him and will worship him. And we have a part to play in that, and how we should long to see that fulfilled. We are called to represent him here. Called to represent him now as his ambassadors, to show his grace and his truth to anyone and everyone we can. Let's finish our little statement now on your outline. Simeon could now die in peace because he had seen God's provision of salvation, the Messiah, which was a truth to be proclaimed to all people, the Gentiles, and is the glorious fulfillment of God's promises to his people, Israel. God is so good. God is so faithful to his people, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. God is so faithful. Simeon says in verse 32 that this Christ is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Jesus was and is the fulfillment of God's promises to Israel. Listen, the nation of Israel had seen and had beheld so much of the glory of God. They had seen the glory of God when God rescued them out of Egypt and the plagues that he had sent upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh because of their hardness of heart. They had seen his glory. The nation of Israel had seen God's glory when he split the Red Sea and they walked through on dry land. The nation of Israel had seen God's glory in the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that led them by day and by night through the wilderness. The nation of Israel had seen God's glory on Mount Sinai when God visibly demonstrated just in a small way his glory in the thunder and the clouds and the blackness and the darkness, that they had to stay far away from the mountain. They had seen and beheld God's glory through the words of the prophets, through the promises that God had given to them. But now, most significant of all, the nation of Israel would behold the glory of God displayed in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who is Emmanuel, God himself with us. Having just come through the Christmas season, we hear this verse a lot, and we should. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And oh, that we would continually behold the glory of Christ, seeing his grace, following his truth, delighting in him. This is Simeon's song of praise to God for this child, the Savior, the Messiah, the light for the nations, the glory for Israel. But Simeon is not quite done just yet. Look at verses 34 and 35. It says, "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" See on your outline, as we close, Simeon reiterates the sobering truth that Jesus is the dividing line. Jesus is the dividing line. That's the big picture of what Simeon says here. Jesus is the dividing line. Many will fall and rise on account of him, this child. Now, there are three specific things that I think are worth noting about Simeon's words here. The first one is this. Number one, please note this on your outline. Nothing that happened during Jesus' life and ministry was a surprise to God. Okay, nothing, absolutely nothing that happened during Jesus' life and ministry was a surprise to God. Notice what Simeon says. He says, "Behold," which means stand amazed. This is incredible. You need to see this. You need to understand this. "Behold, this child is appointed." It is an appointment. It is a divine appointment that this child has received. What happened in Jesus' life and ministry happened according to God's appointment. It happened according to God's perfect will and plan. It was God's plan for Jesus to come. It was God's plan for Jesus to ultimately go to the cross, to lay down his life as the once for all sacrifice for sins, and then to rise triumphant from the grave. It was God's plan. God knew full well that he would be rejected of men, that he would be hated and despised. And this opposition to Christ did in no way stop God's plan. Rather, it was a part of God's plan to save and rescue and redeem. Here, Simeon is underscoring for us the tremendous, precious reality of God's sovereignty over all of the life and ministry of this child. He would live and act and move according to God's perfect will and plan. This child is appointed, says Simeon, for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Many would fall. Many would reject Jesus. But, praise God, many would also receive him. Many would believe on his name and they would rise. They would receive the gift of eternal life and adoption into God's family. So number one, nothing that happened during Jesus' life and ministry was a surprise to God. Number two, Simeon also points out that Jesus would be opposed because he would be a sign, meaning that he would point to something. He would point to something as a sign. Simeon says that Christ is to be a sign that is opposed so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Now, a sign points you to something. A sign directs your attention to something. As we look around the room, we see a number of exit signs, and that immediately draws our attention to, there's an exit over there. There's an exit over there. There's one back there. Right? We're these exit signs, they draw our attention to some truth, some reality that we need to be made aware of. Christ here, according to Simeon, is a sign that would be opposed, a sign that would direct our attention to something. And this something would reveal the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That's what Simeon explains to us. So we should ask the question, well, what was it that Jesus pointed to? He's a sign to be opposed so that the thoughts of and hearts may be revealed. What was it that Christ came to reveal? What was it that Christ came to show, to direct our attention and our focus to? Well, Jesus, in his own words, when he stood before Pontius Pilate in John 18, said this to Pilate, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Jesus came to testify to the truth. Jesus came to magnify, to clarify, to direct our attention, to explain the truth. The truth about what? Well, the truth about God, for one, His holiness, His love, His grace, which He abundantly provides and gives. Jesus came to reveal the truth concerning us. The fact that we are not fine. We are not okay on our own. We are in need of saving. We are in need of rescue and redemption. We need His grace. Jesus came to testify and explain the truth concerning Himself, His own life and work and ministry, that He was and is the way and the truth and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through Him. Jesus' whole life, all of His miracles, His teaching, His actions points to this glorious reality. And, says Simeon, how we respond to Christ, how we respond to Him who is the truth, listen, reveals our hearts, reveals our minds, reveals who we truly are, who we really are on the inside. Jesus is the dividing line between truth and error, grace and judgment, life and death. It's that serious. It's that big of a deal. And that's why Simeon magnifies this point, draws our attention to it. Lastly, number three on your outline, Simeon now helps prepare Mary for the reality of Jesus' coming crucifixion. This is the meaning of Simeon's ominous sounding message to Mary, where Simeon says to her that a sword will pierce through your own soul also. Now the word that Simeon uses here for sword refers to a large broadsword, like the type that you would imagine a Conan the Barbarian, you know, wandering around with, swinging it around. It's just, that's the word that Simeon uses here for sword, a large broadsword, not a small dagger, right? And so what is Simeon trying to communicate in that? He's telling Mary, there is coming a time of intense pain. There is coming a time of piercing anguish that is going to come to you. And this reminds us, this launches our thoughts forward and reminds us that Mary would be there at the cross. She would be there to see the rejection of Christ, the hatred, the mocking, the ridicule that would be heaped upon Him. She knew He did not deserve to be treated in such a way. She knew that Jesus was good and innocent and righteous. She knew that He spoke truth, that He was doing the will of the Father, and yet Jesus needed to die. He came for this purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. And so Simeon helps prepare Mary for the reality of what is coming, that Jesus needed to and would offer up Himself as the once for all sacrifice for sins, that He would take upon Himself the penalty and the shame that you and I deserve. So yes, Mary would experience great sorrow and piercing anguish to see Jesus die. But brothers and sisters, let us also be reminded that Mary, her sorrow would be turned to joy. She would not end in sorrow, but her joy would be made full to see her Savior rise triumphant from the grave, that He would conquer sin and death for her and for anyone and for everyone who places their faith and trust in Him. Jesus' life does not end in defeat and death, but in victory and life. Simeon said it earlier. He brought it to our attention earlier that Jesus must be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. He must be glory to your people, Israel. So where does all of this leave us as we are about to leave 2018 behind and move into a new year? Do you want to make the most of this new year? You want to make the most of 2019? Learn well from Simeon's example. Like Simeon, aspire, strive to keep in step with the Spirit. Trust and treasure the promises of God. Delight in the precious truth that God has given to us. Study it, read it, memorize it, delight into it, that it would be a source of joy and comfort to you. Like Simeon, regularly rejoice in God's good, sovereign, gracious plan. Meaning this, brothers and sisters, we of all people should preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Every day that we would preach the gospel to ourselves, reminding ourselves of God's grace, of His goodness in saving us, rescuing us, giving us His Spirit to dwell in us, giving us His Word to lead us and to guide us. And brothers and sisters, let us in 2019, let us never take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what Simeon has said. He is the dividing line. He is that important. He demands your attention. He demands your worship. He demands your focus, and He is worthy of such things. And brothers and sisters, never forget, never forget, He is coming again. Jesus is coming again, and like Simeon, may we look and long for the coming of Christ, the return of Christ. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Or have you grown distracted by lesser things? Keep your eyes on Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Father, as we look forward to this new year, Lord, we again pray and ask for your help for us as a body, as a fellowship of believers, that we would never miss out on the main thing because we've become distracted by secondary matters, by secondary concerns. Father, we pray that you would teach us more of what it means to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, to walk in joyful fellowship with you, that we would submit to you joyfully in all the decisions that we have to make. Father, we pray that you would work in us and through us individually and corporately as a body in powerful ways. Father, we pray that you would move in power in these last days to glorify your name. Father, please make us more like Christ. Continue your good sanctifying work. We pray this for our joy, for your glory, and in Jesus' good name. Amen.